Y'all, good morning. I'm good. I'm road weary. I was back Sunday night from Tennessee. I was on the flight Monday morning to L.A. Recruiting. Was out there Monday, got up Tuesday, flew all the way back to Mississippi, recruited there yesterday, and got in last night, late, midnight. So here it is Wednesday, and ready to get back in the saddle and get after it and have a great practice with my kids. I miss them.
Coming back home, and I saw you diving into the video, looking at all the cut-ups on that, on where you're going to go. And I've asked you this question before, but I do think it's important for folks to understand, because I know you, like you said, you miss your players. You're very, very close to them. They mean an awful lot to you. It doesn't mean that you don't get a little, say, unhappy or out of sorts or something when things don't go well, as what happened in the final few minutes of the game in Knoxville. That's what coaches do. You coach up kids hard and try to get them turned back around. And I know it was a difficult, 6 minutes and 10 seconds without a point there when Tennessee made its run. When you step back from that and look back at it from the 30,000-foot view, what are the things that really stand out in your mind, not necessarily just about those last few minutes, although that's part of it, but the game in totality and where your kids are as you get them back on the practice floor and get them ready to go back to work?
Yeah, well, I've always feel like up four, down four with four to go, it's my job to get them home. And, we didn't get home. And so that's my responsibility. When you look at the film, we really got out tough. We got out physical. And that's something that me, my staff, our players, we really take great pride in being, is tougher than everybody else. And we just really didn't walk the walk Sunday. We missed a bunch of jump shots, bunch of 15-footers, 10-footers in the lane. I mean, it wasn't like you were there. It wasn't like we were running out of time and getting in a shot clock violation, just couldn't get a shot off. We got every shot we had worked on for 3 days against that extended 2-3 zone. But, you know, when the lights come on, sometimes you react differently, and we attacked it way differently than what we talked about in practice and what we had worked on. But again, obviously I didn't convey that to them, and we weren't able to execute in that period of time. But again, it wasn't like we're running out of time on the shot clock, we can't get open, we're not setting good. It wasn't any of that. It was free throw blockouts is where we lost the game. And then our inability to make a 10 to 15 footer, free throw line and in. I mean, it really comes down to being that simple. And, we talk about that, Craig. I've told my kids, this team and every team before that, because I've had it happen before in a big game, you hate to go back to the locker room when the game's over and you lose the game by one because you had somebody miss a finger roll. You know, a finger roll is an eye shot. You know, that's all about the person shooting it, right?
Yeah.
Instead of shooting it right, they want to go in there and have a little style, so they finger roll it. Well, if you miss a finger roll, you don't want to be in the locker room knowing you lost the game by one when all you had to do is make an easy layup. The other thing is, you don't ever want to go back there and know you lost the game because you couldn't block out on a free throw. And we had multiple free throw blockout issues. Not just one, but multiple. Again, my job to get that done, get it coached, make sure they understand the importance of that. And we just didn't – we really struggled with that. So, hey, all fixable, nothing permanent, nothing catastrophic. And we'll work on that first thing today, right out of the chute. We always make up blockouts after games. We gave up 18 offensive rebounds. We got 20 offensive rebounds, Craig. That's a pretty good stat, you know, but we shot poorly over the course because of that last 6.5 minutes. I think we shot 30% from the field. And we could say we lost the game at the free throw line too. We missed some critical free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I heard it's very difficult for coaches to even try to get too much into free throw shooting. The thing that was maddening about that is your team hit its first nine. They were 9 for 9. And then six consecutive misses after that, and nobody knows the rhyme or reason because the misses started before you got to the quote unquote, did they freeze up? Did they get nervous? It started before that. So I mean, how much can you even say to your team? Do you say to your team about free throw shooting?
Well, I think what you say is make sure you make your 50 today. You know, we make 50 a day before or after practice. You know, and so we you know, it's something that we keep track of. So it's important. You know, it's Craig, it's like the pro golfer that stands over a shot, you know, on 18, he's got a one shot lead or he's tied for the lead and he's standing over a shot, you know, 165 yards in, the pin's tucked to the left. Is he standing in the middle of the fairway going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, or is he relying on his training and muscle memory? And for me, it's the same thing a golfer says when he's standing over that shot. See it, feel it, trust it. And that's what you got to do standing at the free throw line. You see it, you feel it, you trust it. And I've always – the only thing I've ever coached a kid on at the free throw line is if they don't have – you know, good technique. I'm going to obviously mess with their feet. But the other thing is, when you shoot a free throw, you should be trying not to touch the rim. I mean, don't touch the rim. That's all I've ever said to anybody shooting a free throw. If you're going to shoot a free throw, try not to touch the rim. Other than that, good shooters, good players, they're going to make free throws.
No doubt about it. Visiting with Vic Schaefer, Texas women's head coach. I know the non-conference portion of the season, even when you play teams like Stanford and Tennessee, but certainly when it comes to playing a team like CSUN or somebody else like that, I've heard coaches say, and you included, that it has to be more about you and less about the opponent. That said, do you know much about this group coming in on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, their top two scorers are shooting the ball extremely well. They played a good schedule. They're not going to be scared or intimidated. They're well coached. I know their coach very well and have coached against her before. And so, they won't be intimidated at all. And we're going to have to, we're going to have to play well. We're still banged up. We still have issues there and, so it's that hasn't changed. It's not going to be any different on Saturday. So, I'm hopeful we get Kobe back today maybe for some half-court stuff. We'll see how she adjusts to that. But, we've got to continue to work and get better. That's the key. We got a little stretch here, 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, practice. We got to get better.
Visiting with Vic Schaefer here on the road. Okay, now let's get on to the real important stuff. Let's talk Thanksgiving. Let's talk meals because I know it had to be heartbreaking for you last year. You were able to cook for your family, but it was difficult because of everything that happened with COVID. First of all, are you having the team over to your house?
Well, I got a lot of kids from not far away.
Yeah.
So right now we're in negotiation on trying to figure out, if we can get some things done, get them out of here early Thursday, let them get home for Thanksgiving meal with their family, which, man, I completely get and totally support. But they got to be back because we got to work out early Friday morning. Football's at 11, so typically we'd go 8 to 10:30. But everything's kind of up in the air right now because I do want them to be able to enjoy their family. And those that are staying back, they know I'm going to have some good food at the house. And, they're all obviously welcome to come to the house. I've been gone basically 2.5 days. So I've heard there may be some somebody, maybe one of the players cooking in at their apartment. So I'll find all that out today. But one thing's for sure, at the Schaefer House, we're going to have turkey and mama's dressing, homemade dressing. There'll be a couple of pies from LaGrange at the house. We'll probably have some sweet potato casserole and some green beans. And it ain't gonna be no good, but we're gonna eat it.
All right. So, all right, let's do the meal breakdown here, Vic. All right, first of all, the turkey. Do you deep fry the turkey? Do you cook the turkey in the oven? And what's your technique for how you prepare a turkey?
We're gonna put him in the oven. You know, Mama used to put them in a big old. They didn't have cooking bags way back in the day. Now we got cooking bags, which makes it a whole lot better and keeps it really moist, because a turkey can dry out now if you ain't careful. So we'll cook that turkey in the oven in a cooking bag and save the juice. Then we'll make some really good gravy out of that out of the juice that's at the bottom of the bag when we take him out of the oven. So that'll be what we do. Now you don't ever get surprised. I could smoke one on the smoker real easy. And probably gonna have a spiral honey spiral ham, also just to have a second meat.
All right, so there's the two meats there. Now we get to the side dishes. Which ones are you most proud of and are most important to the meal? Because one of the questions I asked on the show today, Vic, is if a person could only have one side dish for Thanksgiving, because I always say it's like sitcoms, you know, it's like Seinfeld, where Kramer is really the star of the thing. It's not Jerry Seinfeld; it's the co-stars that make it. You know, it's Don Knotts, it's Barney Fife that made the Andy Griffith Show, not Andy itself. So I feel the side dishes really make the Thanksgiving meal more than the turkey itself. So which side dishes are the important ones there for you to have at your Thanksgiving meal?
Well, it's critical to have homemade dressing, not stuffing. It's Mama's homemade dressing. And I've got the recipe. And to me, that's the biggest and the most critical part to the whole deal. I've always been a real basic guy. I grew up on green beans and corn. And those are things we'd have homemade mashed potatoes as well, because that goes real good next to that dressing with the gravy on it. And Mom always made a fruit salad. And I don't know how to make it other than it might be as easy as just, getting some Cool Whip and having some, cutting up your fruit and putting it in there and whipping it around and being done. I mean, it might be that easy. I just don't. I don't know, because I've never made it, but Mom could make a really good salad, but it had, it had whipped cream. It was in the middle of a big bowl of whipped cream, and so that was always really good. Every now and then she'd have a Jell-O salad, which was really those days for sure. But the critical piece is what we talked about. You know, with the corn, the green beans, got to have the dressing, got to make some good giblet gravy, and the turkey and the ham.
Absolutely. All right. Now the desserts.
And then the pies. Yeah, we're gonna have a cherry cream pie from the Bon Ton, and probably gonna have a pecan pie.
And both those come from LaGrange.
The pecan pie could come from LaGrange. I've also gotten them before from the Good Barbecue Company, G-O-O-D-E, Houston. And, oh my gosh, you talk about incredible. Those are really good.
Hey, one final thing, Vic, to let folks know about this. In addition to the games, we've got a couple of things coming up where folks who haven't had a chance to meet you or hear from you are going to get two opportunities. One, there's going to be a series of luncheons starting next week. They've asked me to step in and be MC on that deal, so I'm looking for that. Forward to that on Tuesday, and then in addition to that, you and I are going to do a show at Pluckers on Monday night on December 6th, the day after the game against Texas A&M, where it's just a women's basketball show. You'll be able to bring a player or two and for folks to come out. So I know you're still doing your outreach, trying to make sure that fans who hadn't had a chance to meet you or see the team and do that to get some opportunities here coming up.
Well, yeah, I mean, the luncheons are really fun in that you're not – just like with our radio show, nobody wants to come listen to me talk for an hour. And so I really try to make it about the players. Always going to have three or four players at the luncheons, three or four players at the radio show. Our Christmas luncheon that we'll have, our kids will sing the 12 Days of Christmas and wear elf hats and, beanies. And it's a pretty neat deal, a lot of fun. And I always have a guest coach from another sport come in and just give an update, you know, a 10, 15-minute update of their sport. So the luncheons, you know, they really could, you know, they've always evolved into something that really – they morph into a monster that we have to adapt to. Right now, I think we've got almost 100 people signed up for the first luncheon. And what people are going to want to do is they're going to – here's what happens, Craig. So, you know, the first couple, it's not, you know, as big as it's going to be. But by the time we're 2 or 3 years in, people are going to be calling a week ahead to make the reservation. And then they start showing up at 10:30, so they can get their quote unquote their seats because it's all general admission. Even though we're not going to serve food till 11:30, and so you know everybody that doesn't really have a job and has been up since 5 drinking coffee, 10 o'clock they're going to go in there and sit down and hold their table until the food's served, and so it really gets to be a. An entity in and of itself. It's a lot of fun. Again, I talk briefly. It's more about our kids and getting them in front of people and giving them a chance to visit and show their personalities. My staff gets up and talks about certain things and aspects of the program. So it's really a lot of fun. The food's good. It's just a really cool deal. So, I just encourage everybody call and get your reservation. And I think we're, like I said, we're at about 100 right now and for the first one. And again, the radio show is always a fun deal just because we bring our kids. I mean, it's a whole lot more fun and entertaining to listen to them than it is to me.
I think there'd be people that would disagree with that, especially after hearing your Thanksgiving. Hey, yeah. Vic, I appreciate you doing this, and I hope you and the family have a great Thanksgiving. Seeing you on Saturday before the game with CSUN, and look forward to the luncheon and on down the road. I'm glad we're now into this holiday time of year where there's lots of basketball on the agenda.
There is. There's a lot of basketball. We're, just really want to wish Sark and his group the best of luck Friday. We'll be there with bells on and hoping those guys can get them a W here. And I was reading the paper this morning, you know, if they'd have a chance to play in a bowl, man, that's so many more practices that you get with those young guys. And the value of that is really, you know, really, you can't put a price tag on it, and you don't worry what bowl it is. You're just glad to be going. It's a great reward for kids continuing to fight and believe and buy in, and it gives you credibility with everything you're doing. So I just want to encourage everybody to let's show up and be loud and proud on Friday and get those guys home. And, again, come out Saturday at 1 o'clock. It doesn't matter who we're playing. You're coming to see our team play, the Texas Longhorns, and we're going to play at 1 o'clock Saturday. So appreciate your time today. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Praise the Lord and hook 'em.
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. That's Vic Schaefer, Texas women's head coach. Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock.